Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello everybody, it's me Roscoe and welcome to the latest Kings of Anglia podcast special where I catch up with former players to talk about their time at Portman Road, their career and how they're doing now. And today I'm joined by a very special guest, Irishman and former Town midfielder Alan Judgey. Thanks for joining, my friend. How are you?
I'm good, mate. Thanks for having me.
Good to hear, and pleasure to have you on. And you've made a good decision doing outside, my friend, because it is very hot at the moment as we record. I'm inside in this bit of a box room and I'm sweating buckets, but yeah, you're enjoying the sunshine, my friend.
I am at the minute. As I said, I've managed to get the kids to bed, so I didn't think I'd have the time outside to do it, so I'm grateful I'm outside because I don't want to be sweating inside.
Yeah, definitely, because at night, I have to admit, I've got the fan on and yeah, it's very hot. Are you based in Suffolk still, I can imagine?
Yeah. Yeah, still in Ipswich. My son's in the academy at the moment. So once I was at Ipswich, we stayed in Ipswich. We loved it here. We loved living here. So we obviously were in London before we came here. And this is a lot calmer and nice, quieter for us. So we're very happy with it.
Definitely, mate. And obviously you're at Braintree at the moment. How's that been the last few years, you know, dropping into the National League?
Yeah, fine. It's just about, you know, playing as long as I can, really, at the moment. Obviously, unlucky I sustained an injury quite late in my career. I think it was 34 when I did the triple knee rupture. And then when I got back coming from that, unluckily, I ripped my hamstring off the bone, which I think it was just a delay onset from the knee injury. You know, maybe wasn't strong enough coming back. But no, been all good. I've had a good year. I've had a year back playing and, you know, just enjoying it. You know, it'll be 37 start of the season, so play as long as you can.
Definitely, my friend. And we're going to go through your career, you know, the journey that it's been. You know, I think this is your 18th season coming up, something like that?
As a pro, yeah. From making a first-team appearance, yeah, this would be 18. But I think overall I could be hitting 22 seasons, or pre-seasons anyway.
Yeah, definitely. And you're saying off record, you love this sort of time of year in terms of the summer, you know, in training, in the heat.
Yeah, I do. I'm a bit weird, you know, when you go abroad for warm weather training. I love all that kind of stuff. It's just dealing with it after. But usually when you're away, you get to go into an AC, into a nice cold room, but you don't here at the moment.
Yeah, but I can imagine those runs, you know, obviously you always get heard that first sort of week of pre-season, those runs, you know, but you've always been a fit lad and you probably love those.
Yeah, well, the thing is, what I figured out at my age is don't stop. From when the last season finished, I didn't really stop. I more or less gave myself a few days off and I kept going because I think the older you are, the harder it is to get going. And so I've made the decision to keep going.
Definitely. And obviously, it's been an incredible journey from yourself, my friend. You know, born in Dublin, I'm in Ireland. How was that? Let's sort of start, you know, from a young Alan Judge. Football, obviously, your dad was a footballer. Was always going to be your career?
I think it kind of runs in the family at the moment. Well, it did with my dad. My dad did start off himself in Fulham. He played for Fulham when he was younger. So he was over in England. He got homesick around 18 years of age. You know, he came back, made a good career for himself in the Irish League. I think he was the first captain to lift the FAI Cup, which is the equivalent of the FA Cup in England, in the old Lansdowne Road. So it's something special that he was able to do. And I was mascot for that. I was two, I think I was. So, yeah, it was kind of, you know, I wouldn't say set in stone from there, but, yeah, came through grassroots. And then, funny enough, he was my coach, probably from under 11s up to 13s. And then when I moved abroad, I moved over when I was coming towards 15. Yeah, so it was in the family, I would say.
Yeah, and were you always like a midfielder, winger, like attacking player, or just everywhere?
I was actually a striker when I moved over to England. So I was a striker, played up front. I got signed at Blackburn as a striker. But then they quickly identified that, I think probably because of my work rate, really, that I could be better off sort of playing in midfield. And so, yeah, I kind of dropped back a bit and, you know, ultimately centre midfield, then got pushed out onto the wing once or twice, like a few managers did. But ultimately ended up back in the middle of the pitch.
And did you play other sports as well? Obviously in Ireland, is Gaelic football and other sports? Was football the main one for you?
Yeah, I played it to get out of school. That was it. I did long distance running. I did GAA. I did hurling. I did whatever I could to get out of school, really. But no, football was the only one I ever, you know, played properly.
Yeah, and obviously there's so many Irish players have come over to England. Was Blackburn sort of the first choice, or the other opportunities you could go on to?
I think yeah, it was the first choice. I was lucky enough. I had a few choices. If I remember, I think it was like Sheffield United, Liverpool, and Celtic came in quite late for me. But once I went to Blackburn, the amount of Irish boys that had gone over there that were there at the time, it was just an easy choice. You know, from the first team, we had like Damien Duff coming down, and I had players like Eddie Nolan and Keith Tracy, who I went over with. Jonathan Douglas was there as an older pro. So it was very easy to tick off. It ticked off all the right things for Irish players, and the way they were set up for the digs, it kept you out of trouble. Obviously, there was 24 of us in one big house, but we were in the middle of nowhere, so there was no trouble to be seen, which was probably the best thing, you know, coming through those years.
Yeah, definitely. And had you come over to England prior to that, you know, with like family holidays or anything like that?
Well, it was lucky enough, international games I had with my youth ages and whatever, I'd been over a couple of times. And other than that, no, really, every time I came over to England was usually for a trial or, yeah, just to play football.
Nice one. And obviously, yeah, Blackburn have got the history of, you know, bringing players through. Did you get homesick just like your dad, or were you fine?
No, I was pretty much couldn't wait to get over there. And the minute I left the house, I was never coming back off my own. It was if I was kind of got sent back, if I wasn't good enough, then that would be the only reason I'd be coming back.
Yeah. And how did you look back at your first spell at Blackburn? So obviously we'll talk about your second spell. If you make two appearances in the cup, but that journey with Blackburn, obviously they're a Premier League team at the time.
Yeah, brilliant. I was learning off good managers. I think when I went there, it was Mark Hughes. I was lucky enough. He brought me into the round the first team when I was 17, 18. I was training with them quite regularly, come around then. And then I had Paul Ince came through, Big Sam. There was a lot of managers that I got to learn off, all different ways of playing. But coming through the academy, yeah, it was brilliant. The way they kept their young boys grounded, the way the jobs they had them doing. Just because we were obviously, you know, the times aren't different to now, really, where, you know, the young lads don't do too much jobs anymore. But Blackburn kept to the old roots and had us doing, you know, stuff we should be doing.
So to clean boots, did you have any particular play you had to do?
Exactly, yeah. Two guy, I was quite lucky. I think of a lot of people, we did have a boot man, but we always helped them out. And, you know, when you got promoted up to the reserves near the first team, you didn't have to do the boots. But when you were younger, when you were still coming through a scholar, yeah, you had to clean boots.
Well, too, guy, what a player he was, and I'm sure he was a character.
He's honestly still probably one of the best I've ever watched. I don't think you realise how good he is until you actually watch him and get to see him in training. It's just someone who never had to leave the centre circle, and, you know, he was probably playing his best football come the end of his career. I think he was about 35, 36, and Mark Hughes looked after him. And so did, you know, Big Sam. They looked after him really well to get him playing all the time.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously, like any player, you get an opportunity to go out on loan. And when I was doing my research, and obviously I knew this before, but I want to do some more research, but obviously you go to Plymouth. So from going over to Ireland and go to Blackburn, and then you go down the other side of the country to Plymouth, that must have been a mad time as a young lad as well.
Yeah, it was strange enough. I just chanced my arm. Paul Gallagher was there on loan, and it was coming to the stage where I was in around the first team, but you obviously have to buy your time. But I was, you know, not getting fed up with reserve football, but I needed proper football. And I just chanced my arm. Paul Gallagher was on loan there from Blackburn at the time. I said, does your manager need a midfielder / winger? Next thing I knew, I was on a plane down to Plymouth, and I was played, funny enough, my first game against Ipswich at Portman Road. I came on for a few minutes there.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so I didn't dig deep that deep to look at my research on that. But yeah. But yeah, Plymouth, I've been there many times as a fan / as a photographer, and it is a long, long way. And I'm sure as a player, that must be, you're sort of, you know, your own little bubble there, I can imagine.
You are, but it's a lovely place. Like, it's, you know, Plymouth, it's unbelievable. When I went down there, I loved it. Hence, obviously, why I went down for a second season. You know, being a young lad, not many people get to go on loan for the first loan to the Championship, you know, never mind getting into League One or League Two, but the fact I was lucky enough to go on loan to the Championship, it was a big thing, and I loved it down there. The place, everything was, it was brilliant. And yeah, when you're at that age, the way I think about it, you shouldn't be thinking where you're going. If you're playing football, you're playing football. That's it, really.
Definitely. And yeah, you played, like, you know, over 50 times for Plymouth in all competitions. So that's a good sort of grounding for you, playing week in, week out. And there's one manager you played under. Obviously, you've got town roots, Paul Mariner. Yeah. Obviously, yeah. Relegation, unfortunately, in the end with Plymouth. But what was Paul like as a manager?
Yeah, Paul was good, real motivator, you know. It was a bit strange. He came in to work on, he worked under Paul Sturrock first year round. He stayed up. But then we kind of started the second year when I went back. You could see the problems were starting to come, as in with the club. I think they went into administration the year after that, if I was right, after I'd left, after a few of us had left. But Paul was a great guy, you know, really enjoyed playing for him. And I learned a lot under him because it was a difficult time for me, my second spell, as in, you know, I got used to playing. Then I got taken out of the team and, you know, being a young lad wanting to go out more than I should be, you learned a lot. And he was quite good with me. He wasn't an old school type of manager that might push you to the side. He looked after you.
Yeah, that's good. And yeah, obviously no longer with us anymore, Paul, but obviously a legend at Ipswich Town. And then, yeah, obviously at Blackburn, was there any chance of you getting in the team, or was it another loan spell likely to happen?
It was a bit of a funny one, because I came back and I was with the first team, and then, as I said, the year at Plymouth, the second year at Plymouth didn't go to plan, because obviously I probably didn't look after myself. I did, you know, probably too much going out. Not that I was going out drinking or whatever, just, you know, got used to playing, stopped doing the hard work I was doing, and I think that gave me a reset, because then I had to go on loan to Notts County in League One. So I think that was kind of giving me the kick in the backside that I needed. Because obviously, whatever I was doing cost me my chance at Blackburn. And, you know, I had to drop down two leagues, let alone back down to the Championship. I had to drop down two leagues. So, yeah. But then Notts County was, again, brilliant. I love living in Nottingham.
Yeah, well, yeah. And obviously, another big club, really, Notts County. But I always think this, as a player, at that age as well, you must have been like 20, 21, something like that. And you are just being a young lad. You're doing what young lads do. But obviously, you are a professional footballer. You know, that's the thing with fans, may not think about that side of it, but for you, you're sort of just living your life, obviously playing.
Well, I wasn't going all the time. Like, I'd go out a Saturday after a game or whatever, and then it'd be different because I was used to playing, and then taking, not playing, those, that side of it, it's hard to get used to. But it was funny enough, when I went back, it was Big Sam who was the manager at the time, and he told me openly, because he plays a certain way, that I'm not going to play under him. You know, I did play a little bit under him the first bit of time. But the second time, he said, we're going to be playing this way. You're not really going to get any game time. I think it's best you go out, go on loan. And then obviously I made my loan permanent and at the Christmas time in Notts County. But, you know, when a manager's honest with you, that's all you need. I think that gets miscued a lot. I think when a player gets honesty, that's all they want.
Yeah, and obviously, as I said, Notts County, you know, pretty big club. You obviously play under a few managers there. Any notable names you want to talk about? There's also another town connection there. Chris Kwamya was your manager later on at Notts County as well.
Yeah, Chris was there. So I went and signed under Craig Short, who I had at Blackburn. He was one of the centre-halves when I came through the academy. He was really good, you know, looked after the younger lads. So when I knew Short, he wanted me, I went straight there. Obviously, again, wanted to play. And obviously, Shorty didn't last too long. And then Paul came in. It was a bit of a conveyor belt at Notts County at the time, to be honest. I think I had 6 or 7 managers in 2 years. But I had Chris towards the end. And along with him, and I think Keith Cole before him, they got the best out of me. Especially Keith Cole. He got the best out of me when he had the job there.
He's had a pretty good job in terms of like League One, League Two. He's done, you know, yeah, some good jobs there. I don't know if he's, is he in the job now? I don't know.
I'm not sure. Yeah, it was Martin Allen. He did well for me, and then Keith Curl came in, and it was just, you know, the both of them took me off the wing and put me in the number 10 slot slash midfield, and I never really looked back from there after that.
That's good. And yeah, I just had a quick look. He's not in management. Last job was at Hartlepool, but yeah, he's done obviously a good job, you know, at Carlisle and other clubs like that. Yeah. But yeah, obviously, Notts County, you're there as a permanent player now. What was that like, just adapting, not being at Blackburn? But as you said, you sort of adapted in Nottingham, because obviously a lovely city.
Yeah, it was. And me and my partner got an apartment straight across from the stadium. So literally, I was there anywhere I've been, we've, you know, moved right close to where everything is, where the training ground is, etc. So we loved it there. Always kind of had in the back of my mind maybe we could move back up around there, but it wasn't to be. We managed to settle pretty nicely here.
Yeah, and then I'm obviously, you then returned to Blackburn. So did you have to reroute back to Blackburn?
I did. It was funny at the time because I came down to Ipswich. After that, I was down. I was in Mick's office, Mick McCarthy's office, trying to do the deal, sign it. And I think Marcus went on holiday. And my partner was heavily pregnant with our first child. And I think Marcus is away in America. I was waiting for the deal to be done. Mick might say something was something different, but then Blackburn came back on. You know, it was a club I felt like I had something to prove. I wanted to go back. They say you shouldn't probably go back, but I went back. And when I did go back there, I did realise it probably wasn't the club that I'd left. Obviously, the Venkies had taken over and there was a lot of issues there that Gary Bowie was trying to sort out at the time. And I don't think he really was allowed. But it was definitely because of my old club. I had to go back. I felt like I needed to, or I wanted to.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the Ipswich, you know, getting close. Like, you know, it was just basically Blackburn came in. That was probably the big reason.
That was it. And obviously, if Marcus would have just had, if Marcus was in England at the time, or chairman or whoever was at the time, deal would have been done. I would have been signed. I would have been there. It would have been over and done in two days. But I had to wait a week or two, and obviously things can happen then.
Yeah, and obviously you got on joint town, obviously in a different situation than what it was then. Obviously Mick was just still only sort of new in the door.
Starting off really, yeah.
But yeah, you go back to Blackburn, but obviously for the second time doesn't really work out. You know, what sort of happened? Yeah.
Strange. Started the first 5-6 games, did really well. Daughter was born. Had to wait to get back in. I was told I'd be back in the week after, and then there you go. You start to hear things about a month or two later while you're not back in from people from above. And you just got to get on with it. You know, realistically, these extremely high paid players at the club at the time had to play. So I wanted to play. So I'm not one for sitting around if I'm not playing. Football's very short. So it's just about playing for me. So I wanted to go play, and Brentford came knocking. It was a shame because I actually was enjoying my second time at Blackburn. It just... You know, it was one of those things in football.
Yeah, and obviously Brentford at the time, they were sort of building. Obviously, they've done pretty well since then. But then you had to then move to London. Did you then settle there quickly, or did you have to sort of wait and, you know?
Yeah, we were. Well, it was a loan move till the end of the season. I couldn't have asked for a better club and a better start for me, really. Everything went to plan for me. I went down there. I was playing. I was contributing. We got promoted. Yeah, it was brilliant. And then obviously we just had to wait. I made it clear we got promoted. I wanted to stay at Brentford. So we just had to wait for Blackburn to agree a deal with Brentford. And I think that was done pretty easily.
And I'm sure those celebrations were amazing. You know, getting promoted with a team, you know, obviously runners up in League One. Brentford obviously getting in the Championship. I think it's been so long for them to get back in the second tier. And, you know, that must have been great as a player to be part of that.
It was because we had a feeling we'd get promoted, but it happened on a weekend that we didn't expect it, and I think it made that even more special. I think it was Easter weekend. I think we had to have two or three results go for us, and they all went for us, and we won our game, and it just, I don't think it really sunk in until halfway through the summer, you know, after we, you know, the owner had looked after us so well with, you know, end of season trips, everything, and then when you had a little bit of time for it to sink in, you don't realise, you know, not many people get to do, you know, have promotions in their CV.
Yeah, and obviously it was Brentford then became dark horses in that Championship season, because obviously Town were obviously getting into the playoffs that year as well, and I still remember the games against Brentford and Ipswich, still remember Boxing Day, Ipswich won 4-2, sorry to remind you if you played that game. It was a really good game there, and obviously, yeah, we were just on fire at that point. We were like, you know, chasing automatics. In the end, it didn't work out, but we obviously met, or we're both in the playoffs. We had Norwich, you had Borough.
Yeah.
For you, as personally as a player, that must have been great. You know, you're playing week in, week out the Championship and playing really well.
Yeah, it was. It was literally, you know, I think we just took the Championship by surprise. I don't think people actually thought or knew how good our team was. We recruited well in that summer. We got some good players in. And Yeah, we just, as I said, I think we just took people by surprise, especially like certain games like playing Leeds United. I don't think they expect us to get anything out of it. But yeah, well, not fondly, I do remember yous beating us 4-2 on Boxing Day. I think Murph scored literally in the first kick of the game, 10 seconds in. And yous just, yous knew how to play against us on that day. And I think in fact, we drew 1-1. It's the second game after, possibly. Yeah, but yeah, and we both got to the playoffs. So it was about, two good seasons for the for both of us. I think on the Brentford side though, to nearly get, I wouldn't say back to back promotions, but to be in around the playoffs straight after getting promoted from League One, it was amazing. It was amazing, and the team did really well.
Yeah, and obviously that season as well, Jonathan Douglas was on fire for you guys, and obviously he came to town. I think actually, shortly after that, and it didn't work out for him. But for me, I always knew he was a good player, but just that town, it just didn't work out. But like him as a bloke, he's such a nice guy, and he was a good player as well. It just didn't work out in the end.
Yeah. So I obviously played with Dougie for, obviously I knew Dougie at Blackburn, but then I got to know Dougie a lot more at Brentford. The minute I got in the door at Brentford, he looked after me straight away. He has that kind of aura about him. He just, seems like he's grumpy or whatever, which he is, but he looks after his players. And yeah, one of the best guys I've played football with, to be honest with you, just in many ways, off the pitch, on the pitch. Yeah, I know it didn't work for him at Ipswich, but that can happen, it's just the way it goes. But it definitely worked for him well at Brentford when he was there.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously, the following season, you were on fire again, my friend. Winning awards left, right, and centre. And obviously, you get an opportunity to play for Ireland. That must have been an honour, for you. A proud Irishman, winning that first cap.
Yeah, it was, and I was waiting a long time. Martin O'Neill's not one to give out caps quite easily, so I had to bide my time. I think I was in and around the squad for nearly over a year until I got my debut. It's the way Martin kind of works. You have to earn your stripes, really. You have to, be doing the training, meeting up with the squads to get into his team. And I think that's what made it even more sweet, is that, you had to do that. And when you got the chance, it was brilliant. I got to play at home in the Aviva, so against a good team like Switzerland. And yeah, everything was just going right for me that season. Yeah.
Yeah, and then obviously, sadly, an Ipswich connection happened. A game at Porton Road, and obviously, an Ipswich boy, Luke Higham. Obviously, it's been spoken about. I've actually had Luke on the podcast to talk about that incident. And obviously, yeah, an injury, it happens in football. But obviously, it was a bad injury on you. And how do you sort of reflect on that? I'm sure you've spoken about it.
At the time, you probably don't think too much, because I was thinking, right, I got told 9 months, 10 months, I'll be back playing. But then obviously the leg didn't heal right, so they had to re-break it and do the operation again. So I ended up being out nearly, I think, 20 months, 22 months, so nearly 2 years. So, time starts to eat away at you. Brentford were moving on. Obviously, luckily enough, Brentford looked after me. They rewarded me, I think, on both parties. They knew I was going to go in the summer, but they also looked after me by renewing my contract for 2 years. I think it was 2, 3 years, because of what, not because of my injury, but because of what I'd done for them on the pitch. So I think it worked both ways, and I think it was a really nice gesture from them. And I think it was the right thing, both parts, for us, that I stayed there, tried to get back to what I was. But when I came back, I was coming back to a team that had Ollie Watkins in a Benrahma in a Neil Maupay, Romain Sawyer. So my position wasn't really in the team at the time. It was a They switched to a 4-3-3. They didn't play with a number 10, so I was getting, not frustrated, I was getting played in a position that it just didn't suit me. So that's just the way it goes. It's not a bad 3 players to have to sit behind, though.
Yeah, definitely. And do you look back much about that injury? Obviously, there's always that like what if moment. Obviously, Euro 2016 and Premier
Well,
League interest,
it
but.
did. It took it away, because obviously it took away my Premier League dream. It took away my Euros dream. But I was quite adamant, even though it took away my Premier League dream, I knew, I felt like I could get back in the Irish team, and it was the main thing that I was striving to get back to. And I did. I tried not to think too much on what could have been, because even though, as I said, I had agreed my move to a Premier League team, it's there's no point to going back, and you'll only make yourself a bit more bitter. So I've, just, I think, like most things, I just have to take it in my stride. And I just felt like the Ireland thing was more reachable, and I wouldn't say, yeah, I would say more important. more important to me.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, like I'm sure your dad was very proud, you know, when you won your like first Irish cap.
Yeah, definitely. These things you don't forget, you know. Not many people get to play for the country, and it doesn't matter if you're playing for Ireland, England, Jamaica, wherever. Nobody can take it away from you that you play for your country.
Yeah, and how do you look back at your sort of Irish spell, you know, playing for Ireland? You know, you won a good amount of caps. You probably wish you could have won more, you know, won nine, scored one goal. Obviously, against USA, that must have been a problem. Yeah. You know, what do you do with your caps? What have you, you know, have you got them anywhere?
I've actually got them stored away at them, and just looking for, you know, when you've got three kids, you haven't got much space to be putting your own stuff. But look back at Ireland as in enjoyment, frustration, but obviously extremely happy to get back playing for them. Obviously felt like I would have got more caps minus the injury, but it was great. I did everything, you know. I got back, I contributed in the European qualifiers, I scored a goal, I set up a goal. Funny enough, the goal I set up, I broke my wrist a minute after it. I was at Ipswich at the time, and I think Mick said it straight after the game. He said, if I didn't have bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. But yeah, it was probably just, you know, frustration and happiness. I know that sounds weird saying that, but again, I got to play for my country, and not many people get to do that.
Definitely. And obviously, and Mick finally gets his man. You know, he had to, you know, you as a player for Ireland.
Yeah. Mick was, obviously, I spoke to Mick about me playing when I was signing a new contract at Ipswich, because obviously we knew we were going down, but I was happy at Ipswich, and I spoke to Mick saying, would this affect my Irish chances and whatever, and he was like, no, as long as you're playing, you're happy, I'm going to be having you in the team, you're going to be in and around the squad. Whilst I wasn't a starter for Mick, I was always his first sub, under him, more or less his first sub, so... You know, for him to show that faith in me, it was great, and to know I was settled was pretty good.
Definitely. And obviously at Brentford, I want to quickly mention one man who's recently gone to Spurs, Thomas Frank. You played under him briefly. Did you know how good he was going to be, you know, what he's done there?
Yeah, well, the thing is, when I was there, Thomas started off, it was a sticky situation for Thomas. He took over after Dean Smith, and I think he might have lost his first eight or nine games in a row. But we knew he was tweaking little things. He was changing the formation. We were going from a 4-3-3, maybe switching to that 3-4-3 formation. He's very, very meticulous in everything he does. His training is probably one of the best I've done. As in the intensity, just everything is prepared right. It's just, yeah. So I'm not surprised to see Thomas doing what he's doing. And over the years, he's done it at Brentford. So, yeah, good luck to him. And honestly, I wish him all the best, because I generally think he's a great manager.
Yeah, and I hope he does get a chance.
I'm not one. I didn't start under him too many times, but I really enjoyed Rook. He was one of those that looked after his squad, not just his 11.
That's good. Yeah, good man and manager. And yeah, I'm sure you loved your spell at Brentford. Did you? You must have been enjoying there how their rise. Obviously, now they've established Premier League team.
Yeah. I still go back. I get invited back quite regularly, so I go back and I watch them when I can, when I get a free weekend. So it's nice, and it's nice to, you know, see old faces, and, you know, it's good for a club to remember you, you know what I mean? So it's good to go back, and I get to watch them play, and there's some players that I still know there, so it's quite good.
That's good. And then obviously, yeah, the move to Ipswich has come about in January. Obviously, we're struggling at the time under Paul Lambert in the Championship. As a player, that's, you must look at that and go, oh, do I really want to go there? But if you know you're going to be playing, you know, and obviously you're going to be, in a way, you're a sort of star signing. I think there are so many fans happy. Like, oh my God, we're signing Alan Judge. What was that like as a player?
You know, I was still at the time, I played a bit coming back from Brentford. You know, I did play a bit under Thomas, you know, when there was a few injuries. I played a bit under Thomas, but I knew that was only going to last so long until he got his front three, because he was, again, I go on about managers being honest. He said to me he prefers playing Watkins, Benrahma, Mopoy. Again, honesty. That's great. At least you're telling me that. I know I'm not working away at something that I don't need to work on. So I knew I had to go play football. And obviously, coming back from a serious injury, you know, Ipswich took the gamble. There was one or two other teams, but Ipswich stood out to me. I knew they were in the position that they were going to go down. We knew that. They were 20 points. But when I spoke to Paul on the phone, and then I got there, you know, the first 6 weeks of training was like, it was unbelievable. It was lovely. And then I think I signed a new contract after 6 weeks. So I think it showed how much I was actually enjoying it and how much I wanted to be there.
Yeah, I will admit, I think there's we always were destined to go down. Obviously, what happened in the summer, obviously a new manager came in, obviously because Mick went, and then Paul Hurst came in, but didn't really work out with him. And then obviously Paul Lambert came in, and there was a little bit of hope there. Obviously, you got the fan base together again. I'm sure as a player, you felt like, wow, this is weird. The fans are really on the player's side right now. They're a struggling team, but obviously a relegation, you know, the fans were sort of clapping. You know, it was more just...
This is what I've never. I've said it to a few players. I couldn't believe how good the fans were to us on the last day against Birmingham. We knew we were down, and I have to say, if we could have just turned, I think we drew 8 or 9 games in a row, 1-0. If we could have just had that striker that could have put those chances away, because we were making them, we could have given it. We could have had a chance. You know, I think people knew that, but I was a bit embarrassed, but also like happy, thinking this is crazy. I've never seen a team getting clapped off for being relegated. So, you know, I was just like, didn't know what way to take it, to be honest.
Yeah, and did you ever get an opportunity to speak to Marcus Evans? Because obviously, you could have said to him, oh, I could have signed for you earlier, mate, but you know, you were on holiday.
Yeah, well, I obviously you come to it, but me and Marcus had plenty of conversations come the summertime. With obviously what was going to go on with QPR coming in for me, but we joked once or twice saying I could have been here a lot earlier, but that was just it. But I was coming to prove myself that time. I hadn't played 22 games in a row for 2 years, and the fact that I got 22 games in a row from the minute I got in the door, I think it proved that I was, you know, I could stay fit. You know what I mean? The injuries that I'd sustained in my career were contact injuries. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, and obviously it became a bit of a summer saga, didn't it? A transfer saga of like, will he go? Will he leave? You know, what's going to happen? Is he going to stay? And obviously, with pre-season, we're in Germany, and QPR interest. There's bids rejected here and there. Sort of chance to sort of talk about it because, obviously it was Mark Warburton, you know, reuniting with him. But what sort of went on?
Well, I think because it was kept, I think fans kind of found out towards the end, around October, November time, what had really got on. Obviously, my daughter needed 2 operations. We were based around the area in London. I was at Brentford. My family still lived there while we were looking for somewhere to move down. And obviously, you think family comes first. So I was like, obviously, Championship football as well. You're not going to lie. Takes that. And after the injury I'd had, I was like, no, it mightn't come around again. But I never ever got to the stage where I'm not going to try, I'm not going to do it. The minute Marcus said on the phone, you're not going, that was it, I moved on. And Marcus, and I will say to him and Paul, is that they helped me relocate my family really well with my daughter having the operations, this, that and the other. That was all handled pretty well. So I was very happy. It was just frustrating that I wasn't brought out to the fans earlier what actually was going on, because obviously my family and myself were getting a lot of, you know, and partly rightly so, because fans didn't know the full ins and outs of what had actually gone on. Probably still don't. So it was just, once I got my say, I think people realised it's family.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's, once again, you aren't just a robot. You are a human being. You have family, and you know, obviously your family comes first. And I think fans are just like excited how Alan Judge in League One, because they're like, obviously they were really excited when you signed that original deal, and it was like, oh no, he's now leaving because we've been going down. But
yeah.
There's other things in play, but obviously you do stay, and then you had
took
the league
a while to get over. Yeah. I know. I rightly say it took me a while to get over. I don't think until January, February that I started getting back to my normal self after that.
Yeah, and it's obviously you had your hand injury as well. I remember taking some pictures of you in pre-season. You had that on, and some people think,
"Oh, I couldn't train with the team. I was not in contact for ages, so I wasn't fully fit. I couldn't do the training the boys were doing, so that was another thing. So I had another. While I was getting back, I still had, from September, 6-7 weeks of trying to catch up to the lads, which isn't easy when you're playing Saturday, Tuesday, and you're required to play some minutes. And obviously, you want to start games, but you're not fit enough to start games.
Definitely. Your daughter's all good now, I can imagine. Oh,
good as gold.
That's good. And then obviously it was the League One tour. There was like a bit of like 100 points, 100 goals. We had a really good start to that season. I don't know what happened. Like, as a player point of view, what do you think happened? Did you just run out of steam?
I don't know. I think it's just maybe Paul might say it himself. He might not. I think there was too many changes to the team. I think we lost that kind of the first 10 games we were just blowing teams away, and then we kind of probably lost that bit of connection when there was, you know, rightly so though, there was a lot of games. So I think there was over 50, 55 games in League One. So the squad does have to be used. So, and I think then we became a bit more disjointed, and certain players didn't know what they were doing, this, that and the other. But yeah, it's just one of those things that happened. I don't know. And then obviously COVID happened in March, and then that was it. We were done.
And let's talk about Paul Lambert, because obviously he came in and, you know, he sort of brought the fan base back together, you know, brought in the former players and stuff. And, you know, it was a good start for him. In the end, it didn't really work out. But like him as a character, obviously a really good footballing career. How was he as a manager? And obviously there was that hand holding thing, you know, obviously that at a time it was like, oh yes, togetherness, but in the end it was like, oh, and obviously a lot of people were sort of criticizing us about that. Oh, they thought they won the league already in October. In the end, you know, we got a lot of slack for that. But what was that like as a player as well?
So my relationship, me and Paul were topsy turvy at times, because obviously what happened with the QPR thing. But from when I first came in the door, brilliant, perfect. Good man management. He looked after me really well. He had me playing the way I wanted to play. I was playing in the middle of the pitch. I was loving it. Perfect. And then obviously, you know, what happened in the summer takes a while to get over, you know. And we finally got over kind of, as I said, January time. And as I was trying to get going again, COVID hit. So we were all separated from then, I think, until, if I'm going to say June, till June, July time, until we could do pre-season. And then that we started off well. I got on really well with him then. And then I had the situation with my mother back home. And I have to say, he was top on that. Anything I needed, anything I wanted to do, as in going back. So I would go back, play, when we were allowed to fly again. So he was, on a personal level, he looked after me really well after having that. We had that, like, I wouldn't say turbulent time at this, you know, midway through. But come towards the end, especially with what was happening with my family back home, in Dublin, couldn't ask of any more of them.
And yeah, obviously sadly your mum passed away, and obviously that's another thing, you know, you're a human being, you know, when I'm a mummy's boy, I love my mum. Yeah. And that affects, you know, anybody.
Yeah, so the way that was working was, obviously we found out during COVID that she had cancer. I couldn't fly, we couldn't do anything. Obviously we got, long story short, got told she had more time than she did, but she was wrong or whatever was going on in the end. So coming towards the end, I was flying, playing on a Saturday. I'd fly home on Saturday night, maybe Sunday morning, come back Tuesday morning, play Tuesday night, then fly back. I did that for, I think, about 6 weeks consecutively. And I did that because obviously Paul left halfway through that. And then it kind of continued on a little bit when Paul Cook was there. But, you know, as I said, with Paul Lambert, anything I needed to do regarding that, he did it. And, you know, not funny enough, it coincided probably with my best football at Ipswich from when I first got there to when I left there. You know, I was playing my best football. It's just strange how things work out.
Yeah, and things off the field and on the field, obviously, we were struggling on the field as well. I want to bring up a few moments, though, in a town shirt, because I still remember this day, because I was just like, thankful we finally win a game in the FA Cup. It was like 10 years since we've won an FA Cup game. And, of course, you're a late winner at Lincoln City. And I was right in front of it, because I was pitch side taking pictures. And I was like, oh, God, we're going to go to extra time. And it was like a Tuesday night or something. It was cold. And I was like, please, someone score. And then out of nowhere, you scored that great goal.
Well, the thing with that was I was away with Ireland. So I had just done 10 days and, you know, still getting my fitness back. I think it was October time, was it? It could be something around. So we'd done the international break. So I was coming back expecting not to be involved in the game. And then I get a call late the night before the game saying I had to play in the game, which is fine. But obviously I didn't get in until really late, etc. from, you know, being away with the Irish team and, you know, having great success there. So going up there and then going to play the game, and I was so happy the ball fell to me at that time, just because I was so tired from after being away for the 10 days with Ireland, playing the two games and, you know, having a good time with them on the last night, not knowing that I had to go back and play for a game. Yeah, it was great. And then I didn't realise Ipswich hadn't won an FA Cup game for that long.
Yeah, it was a very long time. We've lost, obviously, fair enough, we lost against Lincoln when we're a championship team, yeah, and they were a non-league team, you know, like 5 years prior. That's when, obviously, under Mick McCarthy. So it was like sort of breaking that sort of horrible sort of record in a way. And that was your first goal for the club as well. So it was probably nice for you to sort of go, okay, I've got off my back now, and you went on to score a few more, of course.
Yeah, it was nice. Because the season before, obviously, in the chat, I was so unlucky. Like, I was just unlucky. Ever could have hit the post, I don't know, I think about 5 or 6 times when I was there in the first season. So just a nice to get that off my back and, you know, get going, really. And as I said, I went on to score quite a few more there after that. So it was nice.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, obviously, I was looking at that was the first round replay. So we had to obviously, we drew at Portman Road. And then obviously, we had to go to Sinsel Bank and get the win. But that was like, yeah, finally, we won a FA Cup game. And obviously, that season was the season when COVID was curtailed. And obviously, we finished like 11th or something stupid. But yeah, what was that like as a player? I've obviously spoken to a few players since then about COVID. And yeah, it must have been hard as a player. That's your job sort of stopped for a moment there. Obviously, I know other people had worse things happening.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, that must have been tricky, though. You know, okay, we're not going to be able to play for a while.
It was because obviously it was a new virus unknown, and then we're getting asked to go back in and play football, and which I had no problem with personally, but a few others did because certain people in their family had underlying issues, which be like, well, I can't come in contact with them because I could spread an infection. And we did have a few mishaps. It did happen. It was just like it happened out of nowhere. Someone had COVID. Don't know how they got it, but they got it. But yeah, because it was something new, I think people were very anxious and apprehensive about going back and playing because they didn't know if they'd be okay. But when we got going, the minute we got back, everything was doing properly. It was great. I'll be honest, we were one of the lucky ones that we could do that. Other people had to stay at home and do nothing. Well, that sounds great for some people or some people like that. Not many people do. And it's not good for your mental health and et cetera, especially if you don't have anywhere to go or get out and do anything.
Yeah, and it's bloody heat. Jeez. You want to go outside and do things. But, you know, thankfully we're out of that now. And, you know, but I sort of read you, obviously, you got COVID, and I saw that you've got asthma as well. So does that affect football at all? Do you have to have an inhaler or anything when you play?
Yeah, I got it quite bad. So I think I've had COVID 3 times. Bad. It's the worst thing I've probably ever felt, I'll be honest with you. My asthma didn't get any worse or anything like that. So I was okay on that time. But otherwise, dizziness, spells, all that kind of stuff, yeah, I've never felt that like that before. Funny enough, I played a game for Colchester against Rochdale, I think it was, and I actually had COVID. I thought I was just unwell. I was all over the place and don't know how I managed to get through the game. Came home after testing myself, and it was. I still count ourselves lucky that we were lucky people that could get out and, you know, exercise and whatever and still get to do our job.
Yeah, and so have you had asthma since you were a kid? Is that something you've
always had? I've had asthma since I was 6 years old, probably younger, 4 or 5 years of age. It's I've always had it, still have it. Always have to take the proper precautions, you know, before games and stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, and then obviously, it's like, you know, your mum passes away, and in that period, obviously, Paul Cook is coming in, and Paul Cook obviously become the demolition man, and the situation with your contract, and you had like one more start, wasn't it, for you, that trigger to happen? So how that must have been as a play, like, I think, you know, what, maybe one more game, maybe, I hope they didn't read the contracts, and, you know,
because everything had gone on, I wasn't really sure what was that I had in the contract. But obviously, when he told me, it was kind of out of the blue, because I felt like I was playing well under him. As I said, I was probably playing my best football again toward the end of Ipswich, and I think that's when people probably realised if Judgy's going, then I think everybody's kind of at risk here. You know, Flynn was put into reserves, Caden was put into the reserves, Wolfie was put into the reserves, Scusi was let go, Chamber was let go. Do you know, and I do remember, and when Cookie came in, we were fourth in the league. We were third, fourth in the league when he came in. So we were doing all right. So Matt Gill, he would obviously, Paul Lambert was, you know, recovering from, I can't remember, he was sick for quite a while. So Matt Gill was more or less taking the team for the 4 weeks that he was kind of gone and here and there. And he got us up to fourth in the league, if I'm right in saying. So for us to finish where we finished that season was a hard one to take, because we were in there and we were about it, you know. And I was looking forward to working with Paul. It was just one of those things, he wanted to change the team, and that was fair enough. And it was just surprising the way it was done, I'll be honest.
Yeah, but you know, you're obviously experienced enough, and you know football is ruthless and stuff like that. And like the thing is, like Paul Lambert, a year prior, signed a 5-year deal, which I think a lot of fans were like, okay, because we obviously were struggling then. Like, yeah, seeing a manager sign a 5-year deal as a player, you think, okay, this is now we're settled here. But obviously, results weren't going the way, and obviously, he gets the sack anyway.
But that's, I mean, things happen above you that you don't know anything about. So your job is just to try do what you can do on the pitch. And I thought personally at the time, everything that was going on, whatever, I was playing well at the time. So I kind of thought, there's a chance I could be staying there. And I was hopeful I was going to stay here. But, you know, when you see him quote himself, condition, man.
But yeah, obviously, yeah, Paul Cook, you know, was that conversation said about your contract? You got
no, he pulled me in just the day before. He said, "Ah, look, your contract, you have to make one more start, and I'm not going to renew it. So you can play for me, but that'll be coming off the bench." And I said, "Well, that's not fair on me. I'm playing with no rewards, so as in, I'm risking myself, could get injured." So we came to a mutual thing that best off that I just don't play again. So, and I think everybody kind of understood that. And, you know, generally, I got a good reception back from the fans after they heard what had gone on, really, and etc. So, it is what it is. I think at the time I said that this is football, nothing surprises me. You just have to get on with it.
Yeah, it's just a shame how it's all ended because, yeah, you were playing well, you're playing week in, week out, and you felt, okay, obviously a new ownership comes in, and there's like a new era coming at town. Obviously, there was going to be money spent, but you would think, oh, hopefully I can be part of this. But, yeah, it's football.
Yeah, but that's the way it is. If a new ownership, I don't know how much it was to do with the new ownership at the time. I think Paul came in the market, and he was hell-bent on making his team, and that is totally fine. You know, you just got to get on with it.
And well, Alan, judging, so I went very formal there, Alan. We've got to obviously talk about an incident during your time at town as well before we sort of sum up your career at Portland Road. Obviously, the referee incident with Darren Drysdale, where he squared up to you. Obviously, that was in COVID times behind closed doors and stuff, but obviously, there was a lot of footage, a lot of pictures as well. How do you look back at that incident and sort of tell your side of the story? I know there's stuff out there, but how do you reflect on it?
How I reflect on it, it was probably the most surprising thing ever, and I'm still waiting for a proper apology for him lying in the statement. You know, when you have Mike Jones, the head of the PGMOL, come to you personally apologising for what has been done, you know you've not done anything wrong. And I had all the video evidence, I had shown everything, which the FA had got at the time. So I was a bit surprised, especially when I tried to help him. And I said I didn't want him charged. I didn't want anything to do with it because I was going through stuff on my own at the time. It was just surprising. Obviously, we at the club had audio footage. We had video footage that cleared everything up. But obviously, once you're beaten with a brush at times in the media, people just want to jump on it. And when I'd proven that I was innocent, they weren't really bothered about hearing it. So I just left it be. And I think it could be best off left.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, because obviously he said that you've said some bad words.
So if I said bad words, why didn't he send me off when he sent Flynn off after? Let that work in people's minds if I actually said something to him. Do you know what I mean? I think he was a bit unsteady throughout the whole game anyway, from what I remember of the game. So it is what it is.
Well, you see the image of him, he just looks... like insane. Well, that's
been, and I come back from disbelief, and I remember shouting over to the Ford official saying, "Have you just seen what he's doing?" And they were like, he just said to me, the Ford official, they're dealing with upstairs. And I said, "That's fine." I walked off the pitch. I had, I think it was Stuart Hayton at the time, chief. I think he might have been one of the officials at the club, asking me, did I want to get involved and get him charged? I had the PGMO. MOL asked me as well, and I said no, I want nothing to do with it. I said once we cross the white line, it's finished, it's over and done with. But then obviously he decided to release a statement that was totally false. So you have to fight back when you know that someone's doing wrong.
Definitely. And do you think that would have happened in like a normal like state, like if the fans were in the crowd?
No,
like...
I think let's look. I'm not going to make excuses for him, but it was a hard time for everybody.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I do know refs do get a lot of stuff and whatever, but. You know, that was a tough time for everybody. So, as I said, it is what it is. We got the outcome that we thought was right. And I think I would have been charged. I would have been charged if I did that right and there was or anything wrong. So it is just the way it is. And we just want to leave it and pass on from it now.
Definitely. It was definitely a pen, though, wasn't it? It was definitely a pen, you know.
I think anybody that can see the video, it's a pen.
Yeah.
It's something, anyway. It's either a pen or a free kick.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Incredible. But, yeah, obviously, come out of COVID, and obviously we've had that little moment with, you know, Paul Cook coming in. Obviously, fans were coming in the crowd a little bit. But, obviously, you leave. You know, obviously, a lot of players leave. You know, obviously, some big, you know, you mentioned Scusi, Chamber, they leave. It was like a lot, big departure. How do you sort of sum up your town at the time? At town, and it sort of like felt like you went in the back door. It felt like you didn't get a chance to say goodbye.
Yeah, but that was the time with it, and I'll say this in the best way. Ipswich was the right club for me, maybe just at the wrong time. The situation the club was in when I went there, you know. We were told we were going to spend money in League One when we went down. I think we got Norris in for free and bought Kane for $500,000. That's not really spending money. Do you know what I mean? So Paul did deal with a lot of the team that was left over from the year before. Maybe didn't get to put in the players he wanted to put in, you know, spending the money he wanted to. But no, as I said, it was definitely the right club for me. I always felt like there was always something throughout my career that when I had the connections with Ipswich that I'd end up there. But obviously, maybe just at the wrong time. Yeah, but I did enjoy. I enjoyed my time there. I just wish I could have played in front of the fans a lot more then, because I don't think I really did over the 3 years because of COVID. It was that much of a stutter coming back to football.
Yeah, because yeah, obviously you had that championship period, and then you had obviously sort of that whole year. You know, January to December, obviously we're lit to that Championship League One, and then obviously it was like March we went into lockdown, and then you had that whole season. You know, obviously when we were on, you know, under lockdown, and then there was a few games where fans could come to watch, but yeah,
it was taken away again. So it was literally, I probably played in front of the fans for 6 months.
Yeah,
and when you're watching games, you don't get to see the full picture of a game when you're there. I think a lot of people see that, you know, it can watch a game on TV, you can tell a different picture to when you're actually at games.
Yeah, very much so. And like, which sort of players sort of, you know, were you close to then in that, during that period? Because obviously it was a mixture, like, you know, some good characters, obviously a lot of other players. You
we
know.
All, honestly, we all got on. It was close with Guion, Norris. Obviously, I still see Chambo, Scusi at the time. Scusi's gone on to do, you know, his coaching stuff now. So he's a very busy man at the moment. So don't really get to see Scusi too much. Willow, James Wilson's quite close to him. I saw Willow on holiday. It was quite good to see him again. So, yeah, there was a number of players. We were all quite good. Di Cornell, you know, we were actually quite close. It just sadly didn't come together for us.
Yes, it happens with a lot of clubs, and it's happened at Ipswich Town before in different teams and different eras. And obviously, though, we've always loved the Irishmen. We've always had so many Irish players in the past. So, yeah, like, in a way, it's like, I wish you did sign back in 2013. You know, if Blackburn didn't come calling, you could have been there. And Mick obviously built that team, and maybe you could have been that extra little spice that we needed to get to the Premier League. So we obviously got into that playoffs that one season.
Yeah. Oh, well, we... I can't look back and thinking, oh, I should have. But you've got three good Irishmen there now at the minute, and they're doing pretty well. And hopefully Chio will be back fit in the summer. Sammy, you know, is top quality. And then you've got Darragh locked down for another few years, which is great.
Yeah, very much so. And obviously Jack Taylor as well.
Jack, don't forget Jack. Jack has been so good for Ireland as well, by the way, when he plays. He's been brilliant.
That's good. And obviously, you go on to join Colchester, sort of bit of a band of merry men of Ipswich Town ex-players. Obviously, Chambo, Scuse, yourself, obviously, Freddie Sears. And yeah, obviously, during that time, you obviously get that very bad injury. Did you feel like your career could have been over?
Again, just a contact injury, you know, defending a cross-back stick. Cleared the ball and the guys just couldn't run through the back of me. I couldn't get my leg off the ground in time. It's just one of those things. I think, as I said, all my injuries have been contact. So this is always something that's kind of not eaten away. I mean, people say injury prone. Injury prone is someone who pulls his hamstring, pulls his calves, pulls his quads every time he goes to play. Not someone who gets contact injuries. That's just pure bad luck, I would say. So, no, I was very adamant that I was coming back. think because of the injuries I had before, I was like, I'm not retiring on an injury. There's no way. So, and that is my case at the moment. I'm proving, and I want to prove, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to other people. It matters to me what way I finish. So, yeah, I'm hopefully going to enjoy another year of football, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, you want to do it on your own terms. And obviously, you didn't really have any injuries prior to maybe...
No, exactly. It's just luck. It was just getting back from the knee. And then I've been, obviously, touch wood, I've been quite good. I've been looking after myself. So, yeah, I think the older you get, the more you look after yourself. So, I enjoy that side of it, to be honest.
That's good. And obviously, now you're in late 30s, my friend. Sorry to say that. But what's future plans? What's next for Alan Judge?
So at the minute, obviously, I'm in at Braintree, but I'm also coaching at a grassroots academy. It's called FC Balanced. It's kind of something I just come across last year. Met up with one or two ex-players there. Kendra Lee, he runs it, and it's very good. You know, it's for players, young players that just quite aren't at academy level just yet, but we're hoping our coaching, you know, being ex-players and whatnot might help them along. Not saying that they will, but... You know, a lot of players don't go through academies anymore to get to the highest level or to get to a good level. So that's all. Yeah, just going down the coaching route at the moment, I thought it'd be silly not to. After all the years, I did say, no, I'm not going to be a coach. I've had enough of football. Here I am, finding myself coaching. And I did my B, UEFA B in the summer. So, yeah. Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Coach Judgey, and obviously now your son is, you know, in his academy. Is he a sort of similar player to you, or is he a bit different?
I'd probably say similar, but I think he's a bit more. He's not, like, it's hard to say. He's only 9. He'll be 10 soon, but he's very powerful for his age. Yeah, he's doing okay. And the great thing is that the coaches that are so good at Ipswich, I get to stand in the corner and I just get to watch him play. I literally do not have to say anything, which is the best for me. As long as he's happy, I'm happy, and long may that continue.
That's good. And yeah, obviously Ipswich now is where you're settled. I'm sure you love Suffolk, and yeah, you said it's a quite a life, and your family are all here, and you know, you're looking forward to the future.
Yeah, and whatever that may entail, you know, finish playing football and then, you know, do the coaching as I'm doing up at FC Balance, as I think they've got a really good thing going on there. So, and then, you know, maybe down a year or two down the line, maybe look at academy football if that interests me, or what, you never know, whatever can happen.
Nice one, mate. Well, I'm looking forward to the future for you. Final sort of message to the fans who are listening, and yeah, it's been great catching up, my friend.
No, just enjoy the times. What a time to be an Ipswich fan. You know, I know the club might have went down last year, but they're so well equipped to go back up. The team that they have, those players are well able. They have played in the Championship, and as I said, you'll have certain players coming back fit. I think Connor Chapman in that league, he's one of my favourites to watch. Sammy's one of my favourites to watch. You know, 28, he's 28 goals in the Championship the year before. I think Connor, if I'm right in saying, could have been around 26. That's a lot of goals. And then obviously Sam Morsey's just gone on to do incredible things. And you know, you kept our... So, yeah, I really enjoy watching Ipswich when I get to watch them as well. So, long may that continue, and just enjoy the times while they're there. I'm sure they're going to be there for a good while now, though, with the investors that they have.
Definitely. And all the best for next season, my friend. You got any goals, any things you want to hit?
Just play as many games as I can, you know. Just keep enjoying it. That's the main thing for me, is just enjoy it while I can.
Nice one. Well, any Town fans listening, if you want to go to Braintree and support Judgey and obviously the Iron, then check that out. And, well, my friend, thanks for joining me. Enjoy the rest of the sunshine, and all the best for next season.
No problem. Thanks, Ross. Lovely. Take care, mate.
into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.